All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time, we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How about it? Welcome in Monday, June 10th, 2024. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show, that'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929, the glue guy of this station. Connor, what's the word, brother?
What's How's up, man?
How was your weekend?
It was an amazing weekend. Had
good
an awesome
hear.
Weekend. Kat and I did a photo shoot downtown last night with a good friend of ours, Connor Ryan. If you need some photos done, shout out to my guy, Connor
what
Ryan.
What kind of photo shoot fantastic are we talking about? Are you holding out on me, not telling me something?
No, it was
All right.
No, everybody relax. Meemaw, I may have just given Meemaw a heart attack. We are not pregnant.
Okay.
I need to put that out
all
there.
Right.
No, it was just for Christmas. I got her a couple's photo shoot.
Oh, nice.
This was the first time that we could make the schedule happen, so it was a ton of fun, dude. We watched the game at Ernstein and Hazel. Last night. Bro, those burgers?
They're great. They're always great.
Get out of here.
I gotta be honest, though. I've never had an Ernestine and Hazel's burger any less than like five drinks into a night. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's usually like 11 p.m. or later.
So we did
never had it before 11.
We did the shoot at Central Station, so it's right next to Ernestine and Hazel's. And I may have had an old fashioned or two in me when we walked over.
Taylor and I, my wife, we did our engagement photos right there by Central Station. They usually turn out really well.
It's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Over there.
Did them on the steps inside, then outside walking away.
I think
the trolley tracks right there.
Dude, it ended
trolley
up raining.
Station.
We got some cool stuff, man. We went to the power. We did do a couple shots at the Malco Powerhouse for me.
So you do like a classy photo shoot and then end your night at Ernestine and Hazel's.
Correct.
That is just beautiful.
That's marriage right there.
That's phenomenal. That's great stuff. But that was your dinner, is getting an Ernestine and Hazel's burger. There's worse things.
Dude,
there are worse things.
They were so good.
One thing, though, I can't get over is when I go with my wife, she hates onions so much, she doesn't get like to cook down onions. It's like, that's what makes the burger to me. That's what makes that burger, is those onions that are just like been cooking for 3 hours on the slow burner on that right side, just chilling there for a while.
I love, too, how they're like, we have liquor, beer, burgers, and chips, and that's all we got. Those are your options. Take it or leave it. And you're like,
I always get the voodoo chips, the Zappos.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, they good selection. Good selection there at Ernestine and Hazel's. Liquor, beer, and burgers. I cannot complain about that. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to be absolutely loaded today. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals as the Celtics take a 2-0, and I think relatively commanding series lead. Even though we're going to transition to Dallas, there are some things that the Mavericks have to do if they want any chance of winning this series or really winning a game. I know that there's some people calling for sweep. I'm not ready to do that. I have to see what a team looks like on their home floor. Do their supporting cast players raise up and start playing better, which usually is what happens in the playoffs when you play at home. I'm not ready to completely count the Mavs out, but they're going to have to show me something in Game 3. There's no doubt about that. We also have the College World Series going along right now. This is nuts. It's ACC versus SEC. That's what it is, Connor. We have North Carolina, Florida State, Virginia, And then the SEC flavor, Florida, A&M, Kentucky in their first College World Series in program history. Tennessee, who, by the way, 26 home runs and 6 NCAA tournament games. It's nuts. And then we have one spot left, which will be decided while we're on air today, 6 p.m., NC State and Georgia. NC State ACC, Georgia SEC. It's nuts. It's just, it's an invitational is really what it has become.
That LSU-Clemson game, or not LSU, Florida-Clemson game was electric.
Cam Cannarella, play of the year.
Catch.
Willie Mays catch over the shoulder. That was crazy. And it went 13 innings. And he had a bomb before that to really, you know, he tried his darndest to get Clemson that win. But Florida ended up getting over top. That was a fun game to watch. That was a good one. And then also Scottie Scheffler won the Memorial. How about that? That's nuts. And he just barely survived. One shot win over Colin Morikawa, shot a 74 on Sunday at the Memorial at Mirfield. Fifth win in 8 starts is kind of freaking ridiculous, Connor. I know I'm not going to spend too much time. It's not like I'm a golf savant here. No one listens to my show for golf. But 5 wins in 8 starts is just diabolically good.
So the last 7 weeks of his life include 5 wins, the birth of a child, and
arrest.
Being arrested. Pretty good run. Pretty great run.
He won four million, right? He's now up to $24 million for the year with 3 months to play.
Yeah, that's good too.
He broke the PGA Tour season earnings record already through 8 starts. He broke also the earning record last year. And then, get this, broke the earning record the year before that. So he just keeps breaking his own record year after year. This is a level of dominance we haven't seen since like Tiger in his heyday. This is nuts, and I hope people are paying attention to it. Scottie Scheffler is just lighting the world on fire. Now, as far as guests are concerned, Curtis Akins at 4:30. For you Tiger football fans, I know you remember that name. He's now on the staff as a defensive analyst. But Curtis Akins played linebacker when I was at the University of Memphis. Want to catch up with him. He'll be in studio with me coming up the bottom half of this hour. 5 o'clock, David Cobble joined from CBS Sports, college football and college basketball writer for them. And then 6 o'clock, Keith Smith. We'll talk some NBA with him, NBA Finals. Obviously, he covers the Celtics very closely, but he's from SpotTrack. In the front office show with our good friend Trevor Lane. The Blitz will be at 6:30. We'll talk about Caitlin Clark not appearing on the Olympic team, Team USA. I think it's a missed opportunity, but I'll explain it further there. There's too much. I think there's 2 distinct sides to this thing, Connor, and I just wish we would find some middle ground with this whole thing.
I don't think either side is necessarily wrong, you know?
But I do think that there's, like, what we do with this Caitlin Clark thing is, like, I don't think you're wrong, but you take it a step too far.
Yeah.
Every time. Each side. It's ridiculous. And then also we'll talk about what happened at the University of Memphis this weekend. Visits. Official visits. Antoine Hill Jr., quarterback, potentially of the future. Think Memphis is in a good spot. I really do think that, but I'll tell you sort of what I've been hearing and what I think is going to happen with Antoine Hill Jr., who, again, 4-star quarterback recruit, number 1 quarterback in the state of Georgia in 2025, top 15 quarterback in the entire country in 2025. It's down to Florida and Memphis. He took his visit. Seems like good footing that they stand on right this second. Now let's get into the Celtics. They're up 2-0. In the series, in the NBA Finals. And the Mavericks, to me, just don't really have a whole lot of answers. Celtics got over top 105-98 last night. One of the funniest stats that I just cannot get over with this Jason Tatum and all of the discussion that's had around him and Jalen Brown. The Celtics are 6-0 when Jason Tatum shoots below 40% from the field this playoffs. That just shows to me, though, what we've been talking about pre-series and into this series, the depth of the Celtics is going to win the day. Unless you just go off and it's Kyrie and Luka combining for 80 points in a game, the depth of the Celtics is going to own every single one of these matchups game to game. Jason Tatum is supposed to be their number one, but they are 6-0 when he shoots below 40% from the field. And really what has happened, what has transpired in this series is sort of the Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown debate. And I want to make this clear. I think that in the past, there has been some problems between that. Like a little bit of a power struggle with Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum. Who's going to get the shots? Who's going to create? Who's going to do these things? But I think with what they have set up now, they have both really dropped their egos and they're saying, We need to capitalize. We know we work as a duo, so let's work as a duo. I don't have to have, if I'm Jason Tatum, a great night from the floor, and we can still win a ball game. We can still win a ball game. They have seemed to drop their egos. I think that there definitely was a power struggle in the past, but I think that it's gone now. I think that they really don't they don't care who picks up the slack. Last night it was Drew Holiday. In game one, it was Chris Stapps and Jaylen Brown. They just have so many pieces they understand. Let's go win a championship and not worry about all that nonsense.
Sure, maybe 2 years ago that existed, but I just don't sense that at all whatsoever. And that's why the presser was really funny from Jason Kidd, because it was so obvious what he was trying to do by saying, I think Jaylen Brown is their best player. And at the end of the day, it just, you know, to me, that signaled that he knows that there's not much that the Mavericks can do to offset what the Boston Celtics are trying to do. So he went mind games early. He's trying to do mind games before game two. That kind of signaled to me like, oh, this thing might not go great for the Dallas Mavericks, because I found it was interesting last night. They didn't really switch up anything that they were doing from game one. They were just kind of like, we're hoping that Kyrie and Luka have a better game and PJ Washington hits a couple of threes and Derek Lively can get stuff going. And spoiler alert, they couldn't. You know, it was kind of the same thing that happened in game one, except the Boston Celtics just shot pretty poorly from the field.
That's the real problem for the Mavs.
Right.
The Celtics will give you a game where they shoot horribly.
This was the game.
And they force things up.
Yeah.
This was the game that they did it. They shot 25% from three. That happens maybe two out of every seven games with the Celtics. You have to take advantage of those opportunities. You have to win those battles. And if you can't, I don't think you can win the series. Again, I'm not like completely counting out the Mavs. If Kyrie wakes up and, you know, they get some help on their home floor from their surrounding pieces, PJ Washington, Derek Jones Jr., Derek Lively, sure, I can see them getting back into this series. But felt like last night was the main opportunity for them to capitalize, and they just weren't able to do it because they shot poorly themselves from the field. Because the Celtics, there are no good matchups, quite frankly. Even if you get into switches with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, there are no good matchups that you can exploit. You try to bring Kristaps Porzingis out to the three-point line, which you would think would be a mismatch. He can handle himself from out there. Al Horford's great from out there. You can't get a switch on to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum played really good defense on Luka Doncic for the most part last night when he was the main defender. Drew Holiday is absolutely dog-walking Kyrie through two games. I'm just going to put it very simple. Drew Holiday had 26, 11, and 3, 11 for 14 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3 last night. I think he's really the leader in the clubhouse right now to win Finals MVP.
I think we'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
But he has made Kyrie a non-factor. And then it's easy to say, you know, Kyrie won't shoot 7 for 18 again. He won't shoot 6 for 19 again. Just go look at the box scores of Kyrie Irving versus the Celtics this year. Four opportunities. These two opportunities, 7 for 18 and 6 for 19. When you rewind to their two regular season games, 9 for 20, 9 for 23. Drew Holiday has worked his ass off to try to get that volume up for Kyrie and get the efficiency down. And he has accomplished that every step of the way. So honestly, it would be an escape from the norm if Kyrie has that 35-point, 40-point performance that we've come used to in sort of playoff performances. And then you sort of date it back. And maybe the Celtics just have Kyrie's number. I think it's that simple. Like, Kyrie is 0 for his last 12 against the Celtics. And everybody says since he stomped on Lucky's face, whatever, I don't really care about that. But he's 0 for his last 12. He's 0 for 12 in his last 12 games against the Celtics. Maybe there's just a understanding of what Kyrie brings to the table. They step up to the plate. They limit what he can do.
I also just think we're watching a historically good defense. Like, the switchability of the Boston Celtics and the fact that they can defend everybody kind of one-on-one, doesn't matter what position you're at, I think changes the conversation. And what I really started to notice in game two was that they are basically focusing everything on Luka and Kyrie, and they're just allowing the other players to shoot. Like, look at the shooting stats right now. PJ is 1 for 8 from three. Derek Jones Jr. is 1 for 5. Green is 1 for 4. Maxey is 0 for 2 from three so far in the series. They have completely eliminated the corner three. I think there were only two lobs last night in the game for the Mavericks, so they're taking that away from them too. And they're basically saying, okay, Luka and Kyrie, we're going to focus the defense on you, and then we're just going to help off of every single Mavs wing when they want to take a three because we don't trust them. Because we talked about it before, but one of the big reasons the Mavericks were able to get past the Timberwolves and get past the Thunder was, to be quite honest, PJ Washington just kind of turned into Ray Allen for two series, and it started getting worse against the Timberwolves. And unfortunately for Dallas, that trend has continued in the NBA Finals. So we've said it a few times now. I just don't think the Mavericks can win a game unless they get 60 from Kyrie and Luka, and then one of these wing players or big men have got to step up and be able to fill it up.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't happened so far.
Here's a big issue. Most threes in the finals thus far. Luka Doncic leads with 8. But then let's go through the rest of the list of the leaders.
Yikes.
Derek White with 7. Jrue Holiday with 4. Jason Tatum with 4. Al Horford with 3. Jaylen Brown with 3. Kristaps Porzingis with 2. Sam Hauser with 2. Do you notice something about those names after Luka?
No Mavericks.
They're all Celtics. You have to get some help from your supporting cast, and I think that starts with Kyrie. But again, I think it would be an escape from the norm if Kyrie turns it on this series, because Jrue Holiday has done really well against him, and the Celtics defense has done really well against him in their 4 opportunities that they've met this year.
I think a big issue, too, is that Maxi Kleber just won't shoot the basketball when he's out there.
I think he's got a big shoulder issue.
I think he really does, too. But the big problem for the Mavericks is that he's a better defensive matchup against the Boston Celtics for the Mavericks, but he completely eliminates an offensive weapon for you on that side of the basketball because he's so hurt right now and he just feels like he's reluctant to shoot. Like, Gafford last night only got 23 minutes, and that's just because what the Celtics are doing is they are completely taking away that lob play. So Gafford being out there is hurting them because defensively he keeps getting switched on and they keep driving on him and putting up buckets. It's just what's interesting and what's scary if you're a Mavericks fan is that it does feel like last night, we talk about it, the Celtics are usually good for one dumb game a series.
And it's usually game twos.
And it felt like last night was the opportunity for the Mavericks to steal one in Boston. They really had a chance to do it, and just nobody outside of Luka Doncic showed up. And if we really want to be honest about it, Luka had 20 points at the end of the first half last night. He was cooking. That second half, he only had 12 points, and he really struggled. And it's just, I'm not sure I'd feel very good if I'm a Mavericks fan today, because it felt like the game that you could have won was last night because the Boston Celtics shot so poorly. But you know that their defense is going to show up again in Game 3, Game 4, and moving forward. Do you expect them to shoot poorly again? I still think the Mavericks might be able to steal one if Luka and Kyrie go off, but every single game it just feels like it's more unlikely and unlikely that they'll be able to come back and win this series.
So when we're looking at the finals MVP odds according to BetMGM, and I think similar odds at FanDuel, but I have BetMGM's right in front of me. Jason Tatum is currently the odds-on favorite to be finals MVP. He's at even money. Jaylen Brown at plus 185. Luka Doncic at plus 650. Jrue Holiday at plus 850. Now, if I'm basing it off production and not projection, I'm going to say Jrue Holiday is the guy who I would say is the finals MVP at this particular moment. I think he's been very, very efficient, solid on the offensive end. Game 1, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 for 9 from the field. But then last night, 26 points on 11 for 14 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3. He's been good there. And I think one of the big reasons that the Celtics have been able to get over top, because we saw Andre Iguodala win a finals MVP.
Because they couldn't give it to LeBron.
Finals MVP because he was the one who tried to limit LeBron and did it successfully in a couple of games.
Not really.
But we saw Jrue Holiday. We've seen Jrue Holiday through 2 games completely. Make Kyrie Irving a non-factor in the series, and that is a big reason that they've got over top and won 2, or they're up 2-0 right now. So, I mean, on both ends of the floor, I have to give it to Jrue Holiday.
If I was ranking them right now, power ranking the finals MVP, I'm going to include Luka just because he's in the list.
Sure.
Right now, I think it would be Jrue Holiday. Luka would be number 2 if the Mavericks miraculously come back and win.
Jaylen's number 3,
and Jason Tatum's probably number 4. What have you made of Jason Tatum's play in the conversation around
it? This is where
I
wanted to go. If I'm projecting and I'm looking at these odds, I still think Jason Tatum has a very substantial chance to win finals MVP because he does well on the road historically in the playoffs. Very solid. I don't think he'll shoot as bad as he has in the first 2 games. He was, 6 for 17 and then 6 for 22.
Yikes.
That's really tough. But I to be honest with you, I don't think he's played bad basketball. Like, his game, while the offense and the shots aren't falling and he's just missing bunnies at the rim that he usually doesn't miss, I think defensively he has been very feisty when he's gotten those matchups against Luka. He's the best rebounder on the Celtics right now. And he is pacing the game really well. And he's the main facilitator on the floor for the Celtics. He had 12 assists last night. In the finals right now, he's averaging 17, 10, and 8.5 assists. He's approaching a triple-double. I know it's not exactly what you'd expect. You'd want him to be over that 20-point-per-game mark, and you'd want him to shoot better than, 30-some-odd percent, which is probably where he's at right now. But I don't think Jason Tatum has played bad through two games. He's just shot the ball poorly.
Yeah, he's shot poorly, but I don't necessarily think he's played poorly. Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And last night, because in the first quarter last night, Luka was really dictating the pace of the game. He was able to speed it up a little bit. The Celtics weren't 100% comfortable, and then it seemed like that Jason Tatum was on ball much more, and he helped slow down the game, and he helped it get to a Celtics pace a little bit more after that first quarter. And I tend to agree with you. He still had 12 assists. I understand he's not putting the ball in the basket, and if you want to be a quote-unquote top five player in this league, when you're in the NBA Finals for your career, you can't be shooting 35% in the Finals. That's, I think, the lowest percentage somebody has actually shot in the Finals that is considered a star. So that is somewhere where he absolutely needs to improve, but the rebounding has been great, and the assists have been great. And that's where I do want to ask you this question. Like I said, the Mavericks just didn't really change anything in their game plan from game one to game two. Most notably on the defensive end, they're still collapsing on Jason Tatum, and they're throwing a couple guys at him. And we talked about how he has struggled at the rim. I think part of that is that there's usually two or three Mavericks players right there. But the Mavericks keep allowing for him to kick out to these three-point shooters. And I understand that last night they weren't necessarily knocking them down, but that just feels like a really risky proposition, because the Celtics, you know, we always talk about they have a dumb game in them. They also usually have like a, we shot 40% from three and beat you by 25
and
points.
Didn't turn the ball
and
over.
And didn't turn it over. So that's why, like, I am curious if the adjustment from the Mavericks in game three, I talked about, I'm surprised they didn't do it in game two, is you've got to make Jason Tatum beat you by scoring the basketball. You've got to take away his ability to facilitate. I think that they've got to stop collapsing when he's going into the paint, because they're leaving guys wide open. And one thing that I think Jason Tatum can start to try to do is, instead of going all the way to the rim or taking these step back threes that sometimes he falls in love with, like he was 1-for-7 last night, bad 3-point shooting performance, start shooting the ball from 15. You're wide open every time. And if Luka's going to be your primary defender, you know you can get around him, because it happened over and over and over again last night. So just get around him and take a 15 footer and see what happens.
Yeah, listen, I guess that could potentially be an adjustment, but I still think Jason Tatum can get his teammates involved. He's got four guys that can shoot from the 3-point line. They're all spaced out.
No, for you still want to. I'm saying the Mavericks need to be like.
No, I understand. Like, he's been so bad.
They got to stop allowing him just to throw it to wide open guys.
Yes, but even with that, like, the shooting performance from the Celtics in game one off some of those dimes that Jason Tatum was throwing, they missed a lot of them. They missed nine of them.
But they take a ton.
I get it. Yeah. They missed nine of them. They made five of them.
Right.
Like,
he had 14 potential assists.
So, like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know if there's like a super meaningful adjustment that the Mavs can make besides Kyrie
scores 30.
On.
Yes, Kyrie scores 30 points.
Kyrie turn it on, and then hopefully PJ Washington can knock down a three or two here along the way, and we can get some help from our others, because Derek Jones Jr., especially on the offensive end, is like a complete null and void. It's just like you can't really get much out
of him. Man, they're leaving him wide open.
They don't care.
Wide open.
And what they've done, and I think this is brilliant from Joe Mazzulla, we have to give credit, they have shut off the water from the corners, which is where they feast, which where PJ Washington, if you watch the Thunder series, feasted, which is where Derek Jones Jr. this entire year has feasted. Anywhere on the wings, he struggles. But they have shut off the water in those corners, and they will not let them get up a shot from the corner.
Yeah, other than Luka being their number one offensive, you know, play is, hey, Luka, go score the basketball. Those corner threes and those lob threats are the main way the Dallas Mavericks were scoring throughout these playoffs. And like you said, the Celtics have just completely taken those two things away. And they're basically saying, okay, Luka and Kyrie, you got to beat us. Like, y'all have to beat us. You have to score 60 combined, and they just haven't been able to do it through the first two games.
And like, if you just like going into this series the way Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford had played, you would think that with this sort of front court that the Celtics have, you know, you have Kristaps Porzingis, and then you're dealing with Al Horford, who's a little undersized. You'd think that, like, compared to like what they just dealt with the Timberwolves and Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns, you'd think it would be easy. But those guys have been non-factors for the most part. They just have not been able to give you the same type of energy against the Celtics team. I don't know what it is. I just think it's the – I mean, I think the Celtics just have an insane amount of depth, and they are very well built, and, you know, their team chemistry is on 100 right now.
It's a little bit more of a finesse big man play than it is a physical one, and I think that's why they had the advantage in the previous series, because they could be physical, and it's just – like I said, though, the Celtics are also just taking away how they score the basketball, which is cutting and lobs. And that's where Gafford and Lively, they haven't been able to get it going necessarily, because those plays aren't there right now. Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford have done a tremendous job in the pick-and-roll defense. Now, we do need to have the discussion. Are we worried about Kristaps Porzingis?
Yeah, he looked a little hobbled.
He definitely got hurt a little bit.
Yeah, but they're going to have 2 days off, and then they'll play on Wednesday, so we'll see. We'll see if he can. But he definitely, he was slow at the end of that game.
Yeah.
Couldn't recover. And then I think Daniel Gafford had a dunk on the other end that he could not catch up to. And it looked like that calf.
Yeah, he just didn't go for the block.
It was something with his leg just bothered him. I don't know if it was the calf.
Because it was one of those moments where.
Because he fell down and fell awkwardly, and it was. I don't know if it was exactly his calf.
Well, because on that dunk that you're talking about, it was one of those plays where you would expect him to go up and maybe swat it away. Like, he had the chase down opportunity, and he just didn't go for it.
He didn't have that gear.
And then,
that extra gear.
And then when I. Like, Mazzulla called the timeout right after that because he got. Hobbled, and then like a couple plays happened, but it was after that non-chase down block where I think Mazzulla realized, uh-oh, he might be a little injured, so I need to go ahead and call timeout here.
But I think that Joe Mazzulla realized that they can manage without Horford on the floor.
Sure.
He's been very good in these playoffs.
Yeah.
He only lost one game with him on the floor these entire playoffs, and he's done well in this series so far, although last night, like, don't box score well.
What did you make of the refs and how physical they're allowing both teams to be?
Playoff basketball, baby. Let's go.
Agreed.
That's
it. I like it.
I have no complaints at all. And I thought they called it the same on both sides. Let it be physical. That's what we love about playoff basketball. You hold the whistle in your mouth a little bit more. You don't just blow it at every single opportunity when somebody hand checks somebody. I like that. Let it be physical. Now, the final thing I want to bring up. Now, ESPN, I've talked about their halftime show and how bad it is, and they barely do any content. But the postgame show last night I thought was interesting. And I know this is it can come across a little bit corny, and I know not everybody loves Bob Myers because all he does is sit up there and reminisce on the Warriors all the time. That's like his main job there on that panel.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
But they asked him about finals MVP, and I know that this is not a thing. It's not real, and he already won Executive of the Year, but he said finals MVP for him so far is Brad Stevens. And, you know, I sat there for a second. I'm like, obviously that's corny. That can't happen. You can't give an executive finals MVP. But I think when you look at the way that Boston has won these two games, he has a point in the fact that they're not doing it with one guy. They're not doing it with somebody who is overwhelmingly you pick out and you're like, that is the finals MVP. Right now I say it's Jrue Holiday. That could change in game three very quickly. But the way this team is built is the reason that they're getting through. The depth they have on both ends of the floor, how well they fit together, that's why they're up 2-0 as opposed to any one particular person.
It's like guys
so
four through
eight.
Get
the point he's trying to make.
Sure.
And I think that when you look at Brad Stevens, you know, I don't think anybody has built a team better. Right. Like, in this current day and age of how we have to deal with the CBA, get around certain things, I don't know if anybody did it better this year.
I have been enjoying the conversation happening, too, around the Bucks and how they made that trade for Damian Lillard to beat the Boston Celtics. They thought that Dame was the guy to help them get over the top of the Celtics. And while doing that, they actually gave the Celtics a person that almost made them unbeatable in Jrue Holiday. He has been amazing through the first two games of these NBA Finals. And it's just so odd that, you know, his MO from Bucks fans were, we'll just wait until Drew Holiday gets the playoffs. And you mean that point guard that you had when you won the finals? That guy?
The Bucks viewed Dame as this massive upgrade
right.
over Drew Holiday when Drew had already put them in a position to win a championship. And now you see him potentially sort of in the finals MVP running and helping somebody else lift, you know, their aspirations to a championship level. And you look back at it and you're like, we lost our defensive identity. We lost the identity that won us a championship in the first place. We really lost our way. If you look at the Bucks, they have lost their way.
He's a demon out there. He's a demon.
Yeah. I think that's a fine way of putting it. It's a fair way of putting it. Now, I want to mention this real quick. Starters, last time that Boston lost in Dallas, do you want to go? We have to go really far back.
Last time Boston lost in Dallas,
which will be game three on Wednesday, they'll be in Dallas. Celtics starters were Marcus Smart, Dennis Schroeder, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, and Al Horford.
Wow.
And the Mavs were Luka, Tim Hardaway, Jr., Dorian Finney-Smith, Kristaps Porzingis, and Dwight Powell. It's been a while. I think we're getting close to midnight for the Mavs. I want to see how they come out in Game 3. I want to see what Kyrie does. But I'm getting very, very close, dangerously close to calling this series over. But I'm not going to do it.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to do it right now.
Celtics fans everywhere just went, oh.
Because right now, I'm going to go ahead and get to a break. And when we come back, there was a big recruiting weekend in town for Memphis football. But we're looking forward to a massive season coming up. So I got to bring on one of my teammates who's now on staff, Curtis Akins, former linebacker here at the University of Memphis. He's next. Curtis Akins, former all-conference linebacker at the University of Memphis. Now he is on that staff. He's on that staff. He is on X. At Curtis Akins, we have a big football season ahead of us, so we have to get all the football content in while we can. Curtis, what's up, man?
Man, Gabe, how you doing, my man?
Man, I'm hanging in there. How has it been now that you got back to Memphis and your defensive quality control, working with the kids, back at where you played? How has the transition been?
Man, it's bittersweet. First, I want to thank Coach Silverfield just for giving me the opportunity to come, seeing how Coach Silverfield operate everything, when I get the opportunity to be a head coach, that's the man I want to be.
Right. And here's the thing. One thing he's done, and I've been talking about this all offseason with Connor and everybody else. I've been trying to let people know what he's done in trying to get people that were at the University of Memphis to come back in town. You got Reggie Howard now. Tried to bring in Lou. Obviously, that didn't work out. He got a job real quick. But trying to get guys that understand this program, that understand this culture back in the program, that's massive, man. That's huge.
Yes, sir. The thing is that the work ethic that Coach Silverfield have, is unmatched. Because the number one thing, Coach, everybody know, once you have your program, your organization, you have a standard. And as far as everybody in that building, from the weight room, the training room, even the equipment manager with Mark, Coach Silverfield, he set a bar for everyone in there, and it's amazing.
Yeah, so holler at me about this, because we have some people probably in the listening audience that ain't caught up with you until you got back to Memphis. That's the truth of it. So take us through. You get done in 2018. Move on. You had Bengals, Bills. You had some little tryouts. You got in there. You were through camp.
Yes,
you played some preseason games. Take us through that. Then you had a couple of years coaching. Take us through where life has taken you up till now.
Yes, sir. So as soon as I got done playing in 2018, I went to the league. I played in the league from 19 or 21, I think, from the Bengals to the Chargers and Bills. And so as soon as I got done playing, I want to get into coaching. Simple fact, it's my way of giving back to the kids. And the number one reason why I actually wanted to get into coaching was because of Coach Lennon. Because when he was my linebacker coach at Memphis, just how he operated, how he showed me a different life, taught me the game, how to study. And I was like, okay, once I get done playing, that's what I want to do. I want to go into coaching. So my first coaching job, I called Coach Lennon, called some guys. They're all like, what do I need to do? And some of them, they gave me the process how to do everything. So my first job opportunity, I was the linebacker coach and special team coordinator at East Central Community College. I was there for a year. Did wonderful. My linebacker there, one of them named TJ, And he was a freshman. He was a running back. I told him I wanted to transition him to a linebacker. At first, he was like, Coach, I don't think about linebacker. Right. I don't know about linebacker.
He was the ball in his hands, yeah.
And I told him, I was like, man, I like, just trust me.
Yeah.
Just trust me. So he played linebacker for a year, had all conference. Now he's at Troy University.
Nice. That's awesome.
And so once I got done with that, got my next opportunity to go Arkansas Monticello. It's a Division II school. Some guys probably never ever heard of it.
I passed through Monticello before.
Yeah, it's not.
I never stayed in Monticello, I gotta say.
They had one stoplight.
Yeah, for sure.
So once I got done there, we had a great opportunity. I had some guys there. The experience was wonderful. So it was February. So well, let me back up just a little bit. So
yeah.
I was reaching out to like some of my coaches. I was like, I want to get back to Division I football. Like, what can I do? Some coaches, I'm not gonna say the name. Some coaches I even reached out to that was a part of Memphis, and they didn't reach back out to me. From these three coaches right here, they were from Memphis. It don't matter when I called them or text them, they answered the phone or they text me back when they could. Coach Lannon, Coach Norvell, and Coach Silverfield.
Yeah.
Anytime I call Coach Silverfield or text him, I'm like, Coach, when you get time, can you call me back? He respond back within 5 minutes. And I appreciate Coach Silverfield for that because, for one, by him being a head coach, he might not even have time to always communicate with somebody.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him just for taking the time out of his day just for getting back to me. So
right.
When Coach Silverfield gave me the call, I'm going to tell you what's so funny. When he called me and offered me the opportunity to come back to Memphis, I screenshotted the call. Saw, you know what? This call only mean one thing.
Yeah.
It only mean one
something
thing.
Something on the table.
Something on the table. And when I answered the phone, everything was doing great. He was like, I'm going to give you time to think about it, about coming to Memphis. I'm like, Coach.
He didn't think about it.
I'm like, Coach, there's nothing to think about.
Yeah. I'm in Monticello, man. Let me get back to Memphis.
Yeah, I'm back to my alma mater. So my first day coming back, I was starstruck. I'm finna tell you why. Like, just from what Coach Silverfield has done, like with that program,
right,
from even just the building, the facilities. Oh,
it's like, it's always funny. It's always funny. Like, the old heads when we were coming through are like, man, y'all got it good. We didn't have this locker room. We got a ping pong table. We got the nice. We didn't have this. We didn't have any of this stuff. And then I come back, and, like, obviously I just sort of put that to the side. I come back, and I sound like one of them. I'm, like, looking at the facility and everything else. They get NIL money. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Let's
pull that mic up closer to your face real
quick. Yes, sir. So even when I first got back, the first thing I noticed was the indoor turf room.
Yeah, yeah.
A 100-yard facility.
Wait, what?
They got 100-yard indoor.
Yeah, facility. For sure. And we were in the turf room.
And
we had our old. This was our old train. What's it called? Staff, strength staff, spitting their dip on it. Yeah,
and sunflower seeds.
Yeah, we're doing up downs on that stuff.
Yeah. So even from far as like nutrition standpoint, and it's a lady, young lady in there named Adria Butler, and I can tell you this. When I say she does a phenomenal job with the boys, and with Cincinnati Bengals, like, what she do in college right now, she doing more than what, like, most nutrition dietitian does in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, we blessed to have her.
Yeah. And then I always say one of the underrated aspects, too, is, like, the community outreach Lauren Hillman's doing over there, too.
Oh,
she's done a hell of a job. I was over there for a dang. We have Colby Cox in studio, the long snapper from the University of Memphis. I would have never met him if she didn't invite me to their little job fair they had over there. And we make those connections. You get people in. You have the players making connections with people they can actually get jobs from in the city of Memphis is so massive. That's something we didn't really have
until the last
couple of years of our career. And I give Coach Norvell, I tip the cap to him because he's the one who started the whole
thing. Yes, sir, absolutely. That's just like when with Miss Lauren, they do a lot of like community outreach programs and everything, and they help them. They go to St. Jude's. They help churches, like just the city of Memphis. Even another great thing, and I think a lot of guys know this also, like even last year, I think Coach Silverfield bought 2,500 free tickets and he just gave away to the city.
Yeah. For sure. Of course he did.
He's doing it.
Yes. Now, talking with Curtis Akins, former all-conference linebacker here at the University of Memphis. Now he's on staff at the University of Memphis for the football program. Now, obviously, you can't speak on, like, recruits or anything like that, but it was a big official visit weekend. That's all I'll say. Was it all it was cracked up to be? A lot of guys on campus felt like.
Listen, it's all that and some more. With the recruiting department, position coaches on down the line, everybody done, like, a phenomenal job, like, getting recruits in. I can't. I think the city of Memphis going to be very proud of this class.
I know because of, you know, violations, and you can't, you know, throw those details out all the way. But it looked like you were doing a big, so this weekend, like, usually for official visits, you're like, what, 15 guys deep maybe? It felt like it was 20, 25 guys. It was a lot of people. I was telling you off air, that's a lot of hotel rooms that had to be booked up this weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't that many kids, but the thing is, like, a lot of parents and family members came as well. So that's another great thing also, like, getting the family involved in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. How is it being on the road and recruiting, by the way? Because I'm sure you had to do that in Monticello, too.
Being in Monticello, my recruiting area was Louisiana. I had Baton Rouge. I had Lafayette. I had Covington. I had Hammond. Charleston.
You were just all over the place.
And the thing is, man, I'm finna tell you the number one thing I would never forget about Louisiana. It's the food.
Yeah, of course.
But so I was down there for 2.5-3 weeks, and everything I ate was spicy.
Yeah.
And I'm not no spicy type of guy. So I literally had to go to Walmart and just try to cook something. Like, because the food was too spicy. And you know, anytime you go somewhere in Louisiana, you know a Louisiana person, first thing they say, hey, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, my baby. And honestly, it's just an opportunity just to experience what I love the most. And then coming to Memphis, just seeing how each and last, like, coach, how they operate, how they be at practice, how they handle certain situations. So now when I get my next opportunity, everything I learned at Memphis, I'm going to carry over to everywhere I go. Like, it can be 15, 20 years from now. I'm still going to be doing stuff Coach Hankins doing, Coach Silverfield doing, Coach Larry doing, Coach Reggie Howard doing.
Yeah.
And it's opportunity me being in the room with a lot of them guys.
Now, I mean this seriously. We already talked about how blessed the kids are at the University of Memphis. How different are the conversations between, like, the team now with, like, money involved and NIL and everything? Like, it's crazy. You know, like, it's got to be a different dynamic that you have to manage.
We manage it good. Like, honestly, the kids that we have at their program, they some specialty kids. Like, they really, really good kids. And with the money situation and everything, they handling it like a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the number one. We winning already half the battles already. And
it's like it's discussed ahead of time.
Yes.
Of, like, with expectations, like how you need to manage it, how you need to handle it, how you need to handle yourself.
Yeah, it just go back to Coach Silverfield's standard. And the thing is, we always say the three things is what service, sacrifice, and respect.
Yeah.
And everything falls into that category. So the kids know, and everyone in that building has a tremendous amount of respect for everyone in there.
I just know, man, we were born, what, 5-6 years, a little too early?
Too early.
5-6 years.
They got the college game coming back out.
Yeah, I could have been in it instead of the updated rosters, the uploaded rosters. And they always made me, the NCAA 14, those characters weren't flattering at all.
Oh, no.
They didn't help you at all. They had me looking real chunky in there.
I'm finna tell you, the number one thing when I first heard about the NIL, this one out even in Monticello, I feel like the NCAA, I feel like they need to back pay.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, this is something you have to sort of put your blinders on. They have the little House versus NCAA settlement where I think they're going to pay some back pay to certain athletes in the cutoffs 2016. So you would have 3 years worth of back pay. But I don't know who you have to talk to about getting involved. That's a problem.
You know what?
That's what I've been trying to figure out. Like,
find
I have these
me.
Connections.
Find a number
I
for me.
I have people that may know lawyers, but I still can't find a damn guy that can give me the answer.
I think
we may have missed the boat, though. We probably should have been involved from the beginning, from Jump Street, with that NCAA case.
But they probably not getting no NIL money like that, though.
Because I don't know. Because how would you judge after the fact what you would have made? I think, like, if it was Johnny Manziel or something like that.
Johnny Football or Tim Tebow.
But for me and you, it's like 1 year, like, all conference.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so
that type of thing. You had 100 tackles your senior year. I got all conference my senior year. Like, how do you actually
– they're giving us pennies.
Manage it. They say, here's $25. Yeah. This is what you would have made.
Go by your way. Go by your way.
Go figure it out. We're giving you back pay for that one Twitter post you would have made back in the day.
And that's another thing also – I'm pretty sure everybody in the city know what it's nationwide, what FedEx.
Oh, it's crazy, man.
$25 million for NIL next, what, 4 or 5 years?
That's a big help, man.
Oh, yes. And huge.
Yes, that literally, that to be honest with you, this is not like trashing anybody else in conference, but like, or even in the group of five. That has put this brand, this football program, and really this athletics
in general,
in a stratosphere of their own in the group of five. Like a completely different stratosphere, and everybody else sort of has to play catch up from now.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, and that's fun to see. That's fun to see as opposed to sort of what the thing, and obviously there's more steps that have to be taken, you know, to ensure, and what we talk about all the time on this station. It's like, oh, when can Memphis get into the Power Five? When can they get to a power conference? You can control what you can control, and I think that this athletic department's done a hell of a job of controlling every little thing, especially since we've left campus with the changing era. They have done everything possible to try to change with the times.
Yes, absolutely. I think where to go back to, of course, I think who started everything, you got to go way back. I think it started in 14 with Coach Joseph Fuente.
Yeah. For sure.
So the standard that Coach Fuente left, it kept building. So then when Coach Norvell came, he built, and everybody was like, okay.
It was different.
It was different.
It was different.
Every head coach is different in a good way.
Yeah.
And then when Coach Norvell left, then Coach Sealfield came. And when I say done a phenomenal job since the day when he been there, like when he first took the job, me and Janard Avery, we came over. They were like, Coach, if anybody had the job, we wanted you to have it.
Yeah.
Everybody like
because it was everybody in the locker room at that time voting for it
like, yeah. And even when Coach Sealfield, before he got the job, and I remember when Coach Norvell left and they had the Penn State when they played in the Cotton Bowl, and it was guys I was around Memphis a lot of guys like, man, I sure hope Coach Sealfield get the job. Yeah. I was like, I hope too.
Yeah, right. And here's the thing, I will say this, like, there's been a learning process, but I will say also, like, managing everything that you've had to manage since taking this job is not the easiest thing.
Not easy.
And I'm not, and obviously I talk to Silverfield all the time, and like, it's not an excuse to him. He doesn't use it as an excuse or a crutch at all, because I think he's learned up to this point what needs to happen, how to keep the roster on campus, like, you know, how to you know, talk to donors, sell the program, that type of thing. But I mean, take the job in 2020, COVID, ooh, NIL, yeah, transfer portal wide open, everything at once. And everybody else had to deal with it. But damn, your first head coaching job, having to hop into that,
yeah,
with the expectations that were set, that is not easy or really enviable.
Yeah, it's a process. It's long, long nights, long journeys. Like, yeah. and I tell everyone, it's like, I've been around some very, very successful guys. I've been around,
right,
Floyd Mayweather before.
Right.
I've been around some guys, and the number one thing was every guy that I've been around that's successful, even when I was in Cincinnati, like Andy Dalton, AJ Green, every last one of them guys, man, they had a routine.
Yes, a process.
They had a process.
Yeah.
And once you got that process, nothing going to get in the way of your process.
Yes.
From 6 o'clock.
There can be good days and bad days.
Yeah, 6 o'clock. But the thing is, now when it's bad days, now they carry over to, you got to be accountable.
Yeah.
You got to be reliable. And the thing is with that, and you get the number one thing is you got to have discipline.
Yes.
And discipline, I tell my guys that discipline is doing something you hate to do, but do it like you love it.
Yep. Isn't it crazy, though, looking back to, you talk about the successful people you've been around. It's crazy looking back at the coaching staffs we had when the University of Memphis. How many different guys?
Man, like,
Kenny, he's coaching Arizona State. Ryan Walters is at Purdue. We obviously, Fuente, he's out, but he's doing stuff for ESPN.
He's in Indiana.
He's in Indiana. He's in Indiana now. You had Dan, your coach, man, who you learned a lot from at Oregon.
Coach
Mike
Ball
at Florida State.
Coach Ball in Missouri.
Yeah, Coach Ball. How about Coach Locke?
Who was a walk-on coach, Ohio State
running back. Yeah. Coach now. Man, like, it's crazy.
Coach Wilson. You know Coach Wilson of D.C. at Arkansas.
That's the thing. We discount how blessed we were in that moment. Like, I think that, like, looking back at it and where all these guys landed is kind of crazy on the back end.
Honestly, I can tell you this. If anybody could tell, once all them guys, Norvell had all them guys at Memphis, if we was there and told all them, Coach Landon, you're going to be the head coach at Oregon, Coach Woodson, you're going to be the D.C. at Arkansas, they were like, man, go on somewhere.
You're full of it.
Yeah, you're full of it.
Kenny, when he first got to Memphis, and now he's the head coach at Arizona State, back in his home town, right?
Alma mater.
He was a GA.
GA.
He was a graduate assistant.
And he trusted
taking a stipend.
Yep.
When he first started here. It's crazy. I hope you have that upward trajectory too, bro.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I tell guys this, in the time you're doing like your a job and a career are two different things. And I tell guys this, do what you do and minus the money. Because you do what you do and you have the, and the love is there, the money always going to come.
Yep, for sure.
And that's the thing, and I tell guys this, if you're not willing to do more than what you're being paid to do, you will never get paid for more than what you are doing.
You got to change that mindset. You get to do something, not you have to do something.
Exactly.
That's what I tell people.
Yes, sir.
But, man, I appreciate you coming in here, Kurt. It's good stuff.
Man, thanks for having me, man.
Yes, sir. Curtis Akins, former all-conference linebacker at the University of Memphis, now on staff at the University of Memphis for the football program. Appreciate him joining. Now, let's go ahead and get to hour number two, and we'll start off hour number two as we do every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday with David Cobb.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Coaching staffs we had at the University of Memphis. How many different guys?
Man,
Kenny, he's coaching Arizona State. Ryan Walters is at Purdue. We obviously Fuente, he's out, but he's doing stuff for ESPN.
He's in Indiana now.
You had Dan, your coach, man, who you learned a lot from at Oregon.
Coach
Mike
Ball
at Florida State.
Coach Ball in Missouri.
Yeah, Coach Ball. How about Coach Locke?
Who was a walk-on coach, Ohio State running back coach now.
Man, like, it's crazy.
Coach Wilson, the D.C. at Arkansas.
That's the thing. We discount how blessed we were in that moment. Like, I think that, like, looking back at it and where all these guys landed is kind of crazy on the back end.
Honestly, I can tell you this. If anybody could tell, once all them guys, Norvell had all them guys at Memphis, if we was there and told all them, Coach Landon, you're going to be the head coach at Oregon. Coach Woodson, you're going to be the D.C. at Arkansas. They were like, man, go on somewhere.
You're full of it. Kenny, when he first got to Memphis, and now he's the head coach at Arizona State, back in his hometown.
Alma mater.
He was a GA.
GA.
He was a graduate assistant.
And he trusted the
taking
process.
A stipend.
Yep.
When he first started here. It's crazy. I hope you have that upward trajectory too, bro.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I tell guys this, in the time you're doing like your like a job and a career are two different things. And I tell guys this, do what you do and minus the money. Because you do what you do and you have the, and the love is there, the money always going to come.
Yep, for sure.
And that's the thing, and I tell guys this, if you're not willing to do more than what you're being paid to do, you will never get paid for more than what you are doing.
You got to change that mindset. You get to do something, not you have to do something.
Exactly.
That's what I tell people.
Yes, sir.
But, man, I appreciate you coming in here, Kurt. It's good stuff.
Man, thanks for having me, man.
Yes, sir. Curtis Akins, former all-conference linebacker at the University of Memphis, now on staff at the University of Memphis for the football program. Appreciate him joining. Now, let's go ahead and get to hour number two, and we'll start off hour number two as we do every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday with David Cobb.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.